Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Tiki and Tierney, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber, sitting alongside my two-day co-host, Aaron Murray. Thanks for being back again.
It's good to be back.
I love it.
You know, one day together, now we're matching day
exactly.
Two.
Exactly. Now we got
black,
the memo.
The black polos going
black
on.
Black polos, even D-cells, got the polo.
This was not planned, by the way. Just
this was
organically
totally planned.
Happened.
This is what happens when you bond the way that we bond. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, SiriusXM 206, and radio.com, where you can also find our podcasts. Just search Tiki and Tierney. It's a football Thursday. Once the football season starts, you have football every Thursday. And we have football tonight, as Jay Berman just said in the update, Jacksonville and Philly, New York, Atlanta, Green Bay, Baltimore. The only games I'm really worried and concerned about, not even worried, it's the wrong word, but interested in, Cincinnati and Washington because of Dwayne Haskins, Oakland and Arizona because of Kyler Murray and that continued offense. We'll dig into those games later on. But we will start with football today. Cleveland Browns, they play the Indianapolis Colts on Saturday at 4 p.m. But let's start with their quarterback, because he said some interesting things in Complex.com, an article with Zach Friedlin. I think that's how you say his last name. Zach Friedlin from Complex.com. That used to be a magazine, actually, and I kind of remember it being pretty cool. But magazines have gone the way of digital these days, and so they're not around anymore. But Baker's interesting, and I did a riff on him about 3 weeks ago because he took shots at the New York Giants. Not the team, the New York Giants, but the fans, saying, at least, you know, in Cleveland, the guys are going to show up. We love Odell, and Odell, you know, he's going to be appreciated in Cleveland. Like, he wasn't appreciated in New York. He was appreciated in New York. He was just a knucklehead. And so some people were, you know, upset to see him go. Some weren't. But he speaks, and he says things, and he has opinions, and he ruffles feathers, and he doesn't really care. And I wonder, at the time I said, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback like that. Quarterbacks play the straight and narrow. They give you the rote answer. They keep it simple. We're going to give 110%. I'm just trying to be the best that I can be. I'm going to rise up the guys around me. Baker's the antithesis of that. And I wonder if that's good. It's good for the Browns. I think it's good for him. But is that good for the long term of him as a quarterback?
This isn't your boy Eli, that's for sure.
No.
I mean, he is the opposite of the Mannings, of Tom Brady, and
any of them.
I'm more interested to see when Odell has his moments, because you know Odell's going to have his moments now.
Yeah.
Can Baker get in his face over and over again during the season? And if things aren't going well, I mean, I'm anticipating the Browns have a good season this year. How can they not, when you look at their roster, how can they not succeed this year? But things happen. Injuries happen. Bad games happen. We talked about how close this NFL league is. How do him and Odell mingle and communicate when things aren't going great in Cleveland?
Look, that's exactly right, because you can do crazy, right? But you can't have multiple people doing crazy. No. So eventually, someone has to evolve. It's not. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be Odell Beckham Jr. So it has to be Baker Mayfield. So for the sake of his career, and he said this in this interview, and they touched on a lot of things about his nickname and Odell, obviously the expectations that have been now set for this Cleveland Browns team. They were, you know, basically in the outhouse. Now they're at the penthouse. People expect them to go to the Super Bowl for Christ's sakes. It's crazy. But he also talked about how he's never going to change. It's just who he is. We saw him in college. Mm-hmm. We saw him in his first year in the NFL. It's exciting as hell. But, I mean, for the sake of his career, doesn't he have to calm down?
No.
Doesn't he have to become more in line like every successful quarterback we've ever seen in the National Football League?
Yeah, call me a millennial or whatever you want to call me. But I think we've grown up, or at least I have, in this age of social media, of reality TV, where people are just loud and boisterous. I mean, that's who they are, and that's what you get used to seeing day in and day out. So why not have that for a quarterback who is on every ESPN cover, who's out there in the media every single day, who's on every – I pull up my laptop, it's something to do with the Browns, so – why not just invest in yourself and be that personality? Look, so I don't hate it. And as long as his teammates don't hate it, I don't care.
But see, they won't hate it until they go through a stretch where he plays terrible and he's got to answer the questions and he's defiant. Maybe he says something that rubs somebody the wrong way. He's already done this once, by the way, with Duke Johnson in the offseason when Duke requested to be traded and he came at him, you know, like, I want guys that want to be here. And, you know, just he demeaned Duke. And while it felt kind of cool, like, yeah, he's standing up, be here. You know, you got a contract. Some of his guys in that locker room took exception to it. So if they're winning, of course, you can do whatever you want. But as soon as you're not winning, and while we have high expectations, it's a good chance they're going to hit some bumps in the road. That's when it gets dicey, right? And that's when he has to conform. And I don't know if he can, wants to, or knows how to.
He's the walk-on. He's going to play with the chip on his shoulder, and he's going to let everyone know that I am who I am. And I have nothing wrong with it as long as you back it up. And you're going out there producing, which I think he will. Like, at the end of the day, you can always say, oh, I don't want to talk trash, and I don't want to step on people's toes because I may go out there and not perform, and I'm worried. He doesn't care because he is so confident in his ability to go out there and dominate.
But Aaron, if Jalen Ramsey does that, it's one thing, and he shows up in, I don't know, 5 plays out of, you know, like 80, right? But if Baker Mayfield talks trash, he's a target every single time he's in the game. You know what I mean? That's dangerous.
You're not used to seeing it's the problem.
Dude, you've never seen it.
Exactly. So
seriously,
everyone's always scared of the unknown of, like, we're used to, like you said, button up. Let me wear my, you know, tie. I show up to the games.
Even
I do
Cam
my performance.
Newton does this, right? Even Cam Newton shows up. He's a little spiffier than most of these QBs,
he's a little spiffy.
He tries to say the right thing. You know what I mean?
I don't hate it. I'm sorry. I there's nothing you can say.
I'm not saying I hate it.
But you're not used to it, though. That's the problem. It's the unknown.
Aaron,
and
I don't know if it'll work. I just don't know.
It worked last year, and it's worked his entire
But they had nothing. But here's the thing.
When he's screaming at guys in college, and he's, you know, grabbing himself in inappropriate ways and flicking dudes off, that's a major target. If I'm a defensive end, I'm like, I'm going to rip this dude up. But also,
It's also college. We're not talking about, you know, 265
but there's more protection.
Pound behemoths.
But there's more protection for quarterbacks in the NFL than there is college.
That's a good point.
So as a defensive end, you want to go rip his head off, but you're also like, I don't want to get fined $30,000 as well. So
maybe I'll knock him down or suspend it.
Maybe I'll knock him down.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go that extra mile, which I may do facing him in college. So I think the majority of that locker room has bought into the Baker Mayfield way. Mm. I think they have. There may be a little thing here or there and some guys, but there's going to be still a veteran presence there in Cleveland that if he goes overboard, I'm sure they're going to reel him in. I don't think Freddie Kitchens will be, though. I've been around Freddie Kitchens. I don't think Freddie Kitchens is a type of coach that's going to tell Baker to stop.
So then,
I don't think he's a strong enough personality to deal with Baker.
So let's back up here. We're talking about Baker Mayfield, his attitude. He had a great interview in Complex. It really describes him, and I think it hits him to a T, so it's a really good job that they did. But he's presenting this persona that's almost reckless. And it's okay when you're playing well. It's okay, just like you said, last year when the expectation was, the Browns are going to suck, and do we really care? Baker's going to get in there, and he's going to be fun. He's going to be college Baker. He's going to be Oklahoma Baker, and we're going to like it. We're going to enjoy it. If they win, great. If they lose, great. We don't really care. This year, we care. And so I think it's reckless because if it starts to go off the rails, where does he go from there, right? There's no like second track that he can fall onto because he's so out there, right?
And
you may like it, and the fans may like it. Clevelanders will love it because the Browns have like swag that they've never had, right? And so all of a sudden, it feels awesome until it doesn't. And that's what I worry about when it doesn't.
Well, my question is, and the best players, or let's go to the best coaches I've ever been around, were consistent. Their personalities, win, lose, you knew what you're going to get when you walked into the locker room. The question I have, if Baker decides, I'm going to change it, I'm going to be, you know, spiffy Baker, good Baker, not talk trash in the media, not talk trash to the other team, I'm going to say all the right things, wouldn't his teammates look at him a little differently? Like, what's going on? Like, be consistent. I think no matter what, the end of the day, people like consistency. So
no,
if you're
a
player, a coach, and that's who you are, be that. And be that every single day of the week. If Baker shows up on Wednesday or Thursday and he doesn't talk during practice, guys are like, what's up with Baker today? Like, why is he acting weird? Or after a press conference, he's not saying. Then I think more questions arise then. Is there an issue?
Yeah.
If you're going to be that guy, be that guy 24/7, every single day of practice, every single game, and into the offseason. And I think guys respect consistency. And he's shown that, which I'm fine with.
855-212-4227. Do you love this Baker, or do you kind of worry about this Baker? I worry about this Baker because I haven't seen a successful quarterback do this. I've seen successful, like, defensive backs. I've seen successful wide receivers.
But we've never seen a quarterback do it.
That's exactly right. And so it scares you. So if I'm an executive, if I'm John Dorsey with the Cleveland Browns right now, I'm nervous. Man, I'm serious. I mean, obviously he knew that and he drafted him number one overall. So maybe he kind of is. But John Dorsey's old school in this regard, right?
And so don't know. I think Dorsey likes it. I mean, you saw last year Baker shows up. And he's wearing Dorsey's sweater because Dorsey wears the same sweater every day. He's wearing his shoes that are from like 1950.
Yeah. So he has levity.
Yeah. So Baker shows up like, oh, I'm Don Dorsey for the day, and Dorsey loved it. He's laughing, having a good time. So I think he even has the Baker syndrome right now of loving, especially with the Browns. Like the Browns were irrelevant for a long time. So now you got a little swagger. You got some juice in the building. Guys have confidence. I think Dorsey loves that because you show up to a team that has none of that.
You're right.
I mean, you walk in that building, it's depressing. You walk in that building saying, we're going to win.
Oh, yeah. Well,
who brought that mentality?
Well, you hope you're winning because we don't know that they're going to win.
They
right
won
now.
More games last year than they won in a
true,
while.
Seven. So, but the expectation is extraordinarily high. Let me ask this before we take a quick break. Are you buying it?
I'm bought in. I may buy a Baker Mayfield jersey this year. I don't know. Listen, at the end of the day, Jarvis Landry is there to reel it all, and I love Jarvis.
I mean, he's the only like it's tame
crazy.
One.
He's the only tame one. I love it. I mean, Jarvis for being such a superstar and be surrounded by superstars, and then you got Chubb, who Nick Chubb is probably one of the most clean cut
Georgia boy,
Georgia good human being out there, and I mean, one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. I mean, I love Nick Chubb.
So you heard it.
Love it.
Aaron Murray's jumping on the Cleveland Browns.
So they have a balance at least. I mean, you got Odell and Baker over here, and then you got Jarvis and Chubb over here. So at least you got a little balance. 2-2, meet in the middle, and you got playoffs.
And a head coach who we got to still figure out because he's never been a full-time head coach.
That's my big question mark. Freddie at head coach.
Yeah, we'll see. 855-212-4227. What do you think about the Browns? And more importantly, what do you think about Baker? Can that leadership style work in the National Football League? All right, moving on to some other teams, really moving on to the rest of the NFL. There has been a significant explosion in scoring and pace and all of these things. Travis Kelce has a take on what the best kind of offense is in the National Football League. We'll discuss what we think the best kind of offense is in the National Football League. That's next here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber, Aaron Murray here on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network. All right, Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the National Football League right now. He's big, he's fast. They use him in so many different ways in Kansas City. Obviously, as a fantastic quarterback, and who was the MVP last year. And I don't forget his name.
Patrick Mahomes.
And Patrick Mahomes. And he loves how fast they play. Here's Travis Kelce talking about the Chiefs offense, and I'm going to ask you if it's the right kind of offense to be sustainable in the National Football League.
Anything we want to do, man. I mean, all that, you name it, man. We got 4-2, 4-3, maybe 4-1. I don't know what Tyreek runs now. Who knows? But we got guys that can absolutely fly all over the field, and speed kills in this game. If you got it, you're in the advantage.
Now, I remember back, God, in my day and a little bit before, executives and coaches would say that speed kills, man. Speed kills. But it was usually just like one guy, right? You had a guy, you had an old school stout offensive line, big running back, you had a safe quarterback, and you had that one guy who would just blow the top off of defense. But the Kansas City Chiefs have, like, everybody is that guy. Even their tight end is inordinately fast, right? Is that the best way to win in the National Football League? Because we saw them do ridiculous things offensively, but still come up short because they were deficient on the other side of the ball. Is that the best way to win? Just speed. Let's just throw speed and do whatever we want at people.
Obviously, we saw defense still wins, and if Dee Ford is on, you know, not over the line of scrimmage, they win that game. And there's a good chance that they're
good point.
Probably may win the Super Bowl based on what we saw in that Super Bowl there. So they can win.
The Rams play.
It's the defense's fault. Come on, D, just stay on sides. But, I mean, you got Tyreek, you got Travis, Sammy Watkins. They drafted Mecole Hardman, Georgia boy, who ran a 4-3 the combine. DeMarcus Robinson. And then Patrick Mahomes can move, too. I mean, he's not going to blow you away, but we talk about creativity within the pocket, getting outside. I mean, he is a mobile, modern quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you do defensively, because you need a somewhat spy on Patrick Mahomes, but you don't have enough talent defensively.
Yeah,
you really don't. With all the jet sweeps and the motions, I mean, we saw it with Mecole last week. You do a jet sweep, and I love it. This is what I love.
But it's a
when
pass.
You pass it.
I hate this, by the way.
I love this.
This is a pass.
Because it's not a run anymore.
But you're robbing running stats. Seriously.
Yeah, but what these receivers don't want a rushing touchdown. They want a passing touchdown. They want a
receiving
touchdown. So I love it when it's just a little dink, and it's a free completion for a quarterback, and it's a free 17-yard touchdown, and you did absolutely nothing.
You did nothing.
But Pitcher also, you saw Mecole Hardman has that ability too now. So what do you do defensively to – because Kelce is a matchup of his own, because you need a safety that can cover him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also need a double Tyreek.
Yeah, you can't put a corner on Kelce because he'll body him or run past him if he's not a elite.
It's crazy.
Speed guy.
You know my biggest mistake playing the league?
What's that?
My first practice with Tyreek.
Okay.
Is when Tyreek was a rookie. And it was cover four, and Tyreek had a corner post going on.
Okay.
And I just launched as far as my little noodle arm could go. I just threw it as far as I could. And I threw the ball, and he was about 7 yards in front of the safety when I threw it.
So between the two safeties?
Between the corner, playing cover four, between the corner and safety.
Oh, you threw it between the corner and safety. I got you.
I mean, there was no one to hold the safety. There was not a double post where the inside receiver is going to take, you know, the attention of the safety.
Yeah.
It was just there was a cover four, and Tyreek is faster than you. And like I said, I threw it as far as my little noodle arm could throw it. He ran between them and caught it, dove and caught it for a touchdown. And that was it. Tyreek then got moved up to the starting lineup. And I was like, and this was before the first preseason game, so I lost him. I was like, dang it, I needed him for the first preseason game. Speed kills. Speed will always kill. And when you can now stretch a team defensively from sideline to sideline and then still have the threat of a tight end and the threat of a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
It is an absolute nightmare facing that Kansas City. I mean, they're going to have to outscore everyone, though, because defensively, I don't know what you do.
Well, they've gotten a little bit better defensively.
A little bit.
But the thing you worry about is you do still have to have that stout running game. Kareem Hunt gave that to them. Damian Williams actually filled in aptly after Kareem was cut. And I don't think he's the same type of player. I don't think he's the same, you know, home run hitter that Kareem Hunt was. I didn't expect Kareem Hunt to be that player. He was, led the league in rushing 2 years ago. Damian Williams gives them that. But I feel like they're all little guys. You know what I mean? Sammy Watkins might be the exception here, but they're all little guys. And at some point, don't you have to be like tough in football? Or have we moved so far away from like this old thesis, the toughest, biggest guys win in the NFL? Because the Pats don't play this way, right? And they've won Super Bowls, two of the last three. Like, they don't try to, you know, sprint past you. They have possession guys. They have, you know, 3 yards in cloud of dust running backs who are just going to catch the ball out of the backfield, right? They don't win this way.
Yeah, but they don't have Patrick Mahomes, though, who has the ability to throw the ball 78 yards.
Are you one of these, the quarterback is the ultimate, like, if you have the quarterback, it determines whether you win or lose? Are you
yes,
one of those guys?
I am, 100%.
I mean, I know you're biased because you're a quarterback.
There's a reason why they get paid more money than anyone else. And my question with you, want to talk about size on the outside, because I was always a big believer, too. I love a tall receiver. I think as a quarterback, it's a bigger target. They're easy to hit. But also, if you look at it from a DB perspective, if I want to jam someone,
it's impossible.
A big guy is easier to jam because I can just get right into his chest.
True.
Where this, I'm not getting anywhere near Tyreek because he's going to embarrass me off the line of scrimmage. And if I give him even a split second, he's by me and he's gone.
You're right.
So now all of a sudden, you're having guys having to play 10 yards off. And what you teach
and
your receiver.
And then you got to tackle.
Yeah, then you have to tackle him in space. So then you can just throw him a quick slant, a little smoke route, and say, tackle me, bring it on, throw a bubble, tackle me in space. And then if you do want to start creeping up, then we're just going to run by you. So what do you do with the Tyreeks and the Mecole Hardmans of the world? Because you don't want to press them.
Does this?
Because then you're on a highlight film at that point.
You're right. Does this offense get better next year? Can you see it getting better next year? I'm trying to pull up the stats.
Look at their offensive alignment too. You got Fisher and Swartz on the outside at tackle. So you got some really good offensive tackles.
Yeah,
they
number
got
one
Laurent,
scoring offense.
The French, they got the Frenchman at guard, who's pretty darn good. You lose Mitch Morse to...
I like that kid, by the way.
Mitch Morse or Larry?
No,
the Frenchman?
Duvet Tournant.
I don't know how to pronounce Larry's name still. He's a great spike ball player, by the way. Phenomenal spike ball player.
How the heck do you know that?
Because we used to play all the time, yeah. Me and the offensive lineman would play spike ball every Saturday night in the offseason.
Nice.
It's a great... You don't want to play the offensive line in that game because you run into him and it's like a brick wall. But anyways, great offensive line, great quarterback, great receivers, great tight end. You need a no-name running back. Who cares? Because teams are going to have to play cover two.
Yeah.
Because if you man up, you're in trouble. And if you play cover two and they decide to run the football, you have stout guys up front. So really, offensively, it's kind of like a creative team offensively, I think. It really is. I mean, they're loaded every position. So, you know, just outscore everyone. Who cares who's on defense? Just outscore everyone.
But ultimately, does that win? Rodgers does it without those kind of players.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson does it without those kind of players. I already talked about Tom Brady. He does it without those kind of players. Right? It's one way to do it. I just feel like it's dangerous sometimes if you always rely on explosion, explosion, explosion. Because football's a tough sport, man. Right, all it takes is one of those guys to go down.
Yeah, but they have five more, though. That's the thing, though. You can lose. You can lose one.
They're an anomaly.
This isn't a team based off one receiver who we need him to have seven catches. I mean, there's going to be games where Kelsey has three or four catches. There's going to be games where Mecole Hardman has eight catches. I mean, because teams are going to say, this week we believe we can beat the Kansas City Chiefs by stopping Tyreek. Well, okay, fine. If you want to go one-on-one with Kelsey, then we'll just utilize that. Okay, well, now we want to stop both those guys. Well, but fine, then we'll go to Mecole.
But don't you buy into it? Because we see this every couple of years, right? There's an offensive scheme. There's a system that just dominates the league, right? And it's like, man, this is unbelievable. It's revolutionizing what's happening. And then some coordinator comes up with a way to stop it, right? Or, you know, there's a player who develops, I don't know, some technique to shut a guy down. You know what I mean? So it's like it always evolves. Does the defense ever catch up to the Kansas City Chiefs?
No.
Because it feels like it's impossible because there's not enough bodies.
Because it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the something and Joes, whatever the saying is. I mean, they just have better Joes on their side of the ball. And at the end of the day, it's still a matchup game. At the end of the day, you find, as a coordinator, offensively, you're looking for the matchups. What matchup can I exploit?
Yes.
You know, even talking with guys like Romo who watches film, he's like, when I'm watching film, I'm looking at the matchups. And I do the same thing when I'm breaking down film as well for games. Where can you exploit a team? So X's and O's, all these fancy plays can be great. But if you can say, hey, let me put Kelsey, even split him one-on-one weak side, put three receivers on my right. We'll put Kelsey backside one-on-one with a safety and just give him three routes, a slant, a go, and a hitch, we'll win.
And if you send him on a go, you take your back out that side. And then
it's a matchup game at the end of the day,
you don't need all this
fancy stuff.
Speaking of Tony Romo, we'll talk to Tony Romo at 4:40 Eastern, 1:40 Pacific. Tony is the man. Obviously, he's been fantastic so far as our CBS football lead analyst with Jim Nantz, but he'll join us in our second hour. Inbounds and Out of Bounds is next. The NFL, old school? Does it see eye to eye with the new school? Plus, what about some crosstown rivalries? We'll get all that in Inbounds and Out of Bounds. Welcome back. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber. Aaron Murray joining me in studio. This is Thursday edition, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Aaron Murray, if you want to reach out to him. You might respond. Do you respond on Twitter?
I respond. 11. You got to throw the 11
in
there.
Oh, that's right. At Aaron Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, 11.
Throw the ones up there.
On Twitter. You do respond. I don't respond a lot.
Yeah,
I just don't
know.
Nah,
I'm more of an Instagram guy kind of myself nowadays. Yeah, but every now and then I'll jump on Twitter.
Yeah. I use Twitter for information.
Yes.
Like when I want to, what happened? Something good, bad, whatever, I jump on Twitter.
So I have two Twitter accounts. One is like some random. Dude, one's me. One's, but no, listen. One's like a random name.
Are you KD?
Not for, I don't tweet out of it. I just use for information. So if I need football news, I go to this one. If I want to do like social stuff, I use my regular one.
Yes, and it's also
that way. It's account is like
if I'm get off of Aaron Murray. He's amazing. What are you talking about? That was a great call
over here, KD Jr. I learned
burner
from
accounts. You ready to do inbounds and out of bounds?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki and Tierney's Inbounds and Out of Bounds is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit fidelity.com/value. to invest with zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSE, SIPC. D-Cell, let's hit it.
All right, here we go, boys. As we know, good friend of the show and your twin, Teak, Rondé will be inducted into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Ring of Honor.
Congrats to the ugly twin.
Absolutely. During halftime of the Bucs Week 3 game against the Giants this season, which he'll be on the call for.
Yep.
Yet one current member of the Bucs Ring of Honor was pretty outspoken about his feelings about former Bucs defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. Warren Sapp responded to McCoy's comments earlier this offseason that he was a Ring of Honor caliber player and that he was upset that the Bucs gave Ndamukong Suh his old jersey, number 93. Sapp told TwitterReport.com, "He's a damn good player, but not even close to a legend. You don't get legendary status or tell somebody to put your jersey up if you don't make the playoffs," end quote. Warren Sapp's take on Gerald McCoy's career with the Bucs is inbounds or out of bounds?
I'm going inbounds here. I agree. I mean, Gerald McCoy's done a tremendous job for the Bucs. I wouldn't say deserving of the Ring of Honor. I mean, what your brother did, and I'm a Tampa guy. I mean, the Bucs are my team. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up going to every single game, and Brooks, your brother, Lynch.
Great. They were great.
Sapp.
They were
fun, too. Those dudes were awesome.
Don't forget
and they
Keyshawn.
Were Bucks for like ever.
Don't forget Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
He wasn't a Buck fan.
Is Brad Johnson in the ring?
I don't think so. I mean,
Warwick.
No,
is Warwick? Warwick has to be.
I don't think Warwick is
really.
Because I'll forget. Warwick,
I know. He's
Warwick's career like paralleled mine so much. Like our obviously we're connected in college from the Virginia Florida State game. We were the first ACC team to beat them. But then he gets to the league. He plays in Tampa. He leaves Tampa and goes to Atlanta. Yeah. That next year, the year after he left, they won the Super Bowl, right? Which paralleled me. I retired and won the Super Bowl, but our numbers are like almost identical.
How long was he with the Bucs? Or is it enough that you would think that
they
he
won,
could make
they
that?
They won in 02.
Yeah.
So he was 97 to 02.
Okay.
So what is that? 4 years? 5 years?
5 years.
5 years.
So I guess Warwick wasn't there enough to. But I mean, like I said, Lynch, Sapp, Derek Brooks, your brother. I mean, those guys are special. I mean, when you thought the Bucs defense and you looked at the guys across, if you're an offense, you were scared.
So you don't like
no. Them. So I agree with Sapp on this one. I think Sapp, if you read the whole article, he goes on and on. I think a little too rough.
Yeah, he does.
A little too much. He could have just left it at, I don't think he belongs, but he just pretty much butchered him.
All right. Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, my brother, John Lynch, Joe Jarvisius even, right?
Remember Leroy Selman.
No, not Leroy Selman. No. Just stay current with me. They all played and won a Super Bowl with these coaches, Tony Dungy and John Gruden, who was amazing for the few years in Tampa. Gerald McCoy, you know who was his first coach? Raheem Morris. You know why he was his first coach? Because John Gruden got fired in like March. You know, they had to, he just gave Raheem the defensive coordinator. Hey, Raheem, you're that coach. Right? He's unprepared for it. He did go 10-6 his first year, completely unprepared for it. I think he was 32 years old at the time, or 33. I think Rondé was almost as old as him when he got the head coaching job. He obviously gets fired. Then they bring in Greg Schiano. Then Lovie Smith for two seasons, and they bounced him. And then Dirk Cutter. Right, Gerald McCoy hasn't had elite coaching like Saf and Rondé and all those other guys, much less elite players to play with. Yet, in that time, he has made 6 Pro Bowls. He was first-team All-Pro once. He was second-team All-Pro twice and was elite on that team. He was the one guy that you could count on to be good for that team. Yes, he didn't lead him to the playoffs, but football is a team sport. I'm going to say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Mike Gundy is entering his 15th season at Oklahoma State.
He and his
epic mullet have amassed a 121-59 record. That's a 67% win rate, but the Cowboys are coming off a 7-6 season last year. Yesterday, Gundy told ESPN, quote, "I wouldn't have thought I would still be here, but I do now. This is who I am. This is what I am. This is where I belong. This is me. There's no reason for me to go anywhere else," end quote. Oklahoma State is, of course, Gundy's alma mater, graduating in 1989. So inbounds or out of bounds, Mike Gundy should have a lifetime contract at Oklahoma State.
I'm going out of bounds here. I think he wants one. Obviously, why would he want to go anywhere? I mean, if I had a chance to coach at my alma mater, I'd stay there, too.
And he was a 4-year player there, too. It's not like he was only 2 years. He played a lot.
But if he craps the bed and they lose games and they're a 5-7, 6-6 team, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to win. There's no, you've been here for 15 years, you played here, then you got to make money. And Booster's got to pay us for these fancy facilities. They ain't going to pay if you're losing.
I got to agree with you. And look, Aaron, if this was basketball, like Coach Cal, who all he needs to do is get 2 top 10 players, and they're going to be competitive and win games and always compete because he's also a great coach. This isn't about how good of a coach he is. This is about the future. In the NFL or in college football, if you're not either putting guys in the NFL, a lot of them, and obviously bringing prestige to the program, 2, winning conference championships, and continuing to build the program, eventually you got to move on. And sometimes you just age out of it. Times change. Kids change. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know how to relate. Now, it seems like Mike Gundy will always evolve, you know, to whoever suits the certain era that he could play in. I would like to see him there for a long time, but you can't give him a lifetime contract. Mm-hmm. It's out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
So sticking with college football here, sort of. Vanderbilt announced yesterday that they will allow the sale of alcohol at their home football games this season. Athletic director Malcolm Turner said, quote, "These sales will provide additional resources to invest in our mission of helping student athletes succeed on and off the field." So inbounds or out of bounds, it is a slippery slope for college football programs to begin the sale of alcohol at their home games.
Out of bounds. Sell as much as these kids want to drink.
I mean, well, that's the problem. What are you promoting underage drinking over here?
They're going to bring, like, if I told you how many buddies I knew in college that would tape flasks to their thighs and tape this, and they'd be drinking they would empty a sunscreen bottle and pour liquor into the sunscreen bottle. You look at, I score a touchdown. Like, I'm in the stand. Sell it. I'm literally celebrating a touchdown. I look up and these kids drinking a sunscreen bottle. I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is nuts. Like, that's where you draw the line right there. But they're going to make it happen and they're going to bring it in.
Regardless.
So why not just sell it and make money?
Yeah,
at the end of the day, just make some money.
But if they sell it, then the kids can't buy it. You know what I mean? They're still underage.
There's a good amount that can still.
True. I'm gonna say inbounds. I think it is a slippery slope. Like, I know why they're doing this, because if you can't tailgate or drink in the stadium, why go? because you have the 70-incher at home. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, your bathroom right around the corner. You could get, you know, free refreshments and everything else just by going to your fridge. And so you got to make the in-game, at in-person game experience a little bit better for folks. I guess that, I mean, that's one reason, including the additional revenue, of course, for student programs.
This is Vanderbilt, though. So if Vandy's saying yes.
So, look, we're going to start seeing this because of shrinking audiences, live audiences, and all sports, really. But again, yes, we'll get to that later, as D-Cell just told me in my ear. But I'm saying, yeah, I think it is a slippery slope. Because ultimately, you're going to get like a 21-year-old who has his ID, whether it's real or fake, it doesn't matter, going to buy like three beers and giving it to his buddies. And now you have an underage drinking problem. And that's difficult to deal with, especially if something, God forbid, should happen. So I'm going to say inbounds. It is a slippery slope.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, moving away from football here for number four, switching to the NBA. Former Cavs head coach Ty Lue is nearing a deal to become Doc Rivers' top assistant with the Clippers. Remember, Lue served as Rivers' top assistant back in 2013-2014 for one season with the Clippers. Lue also interviewed this offseason for the Lakers' head coaching vacancy before the Purple and Gold ultimately hired Frank Vogel. It was believed that LeBron James and his camp wanted Lue to become the next head coach, but the Lakers front office disagreed. So inbounds or out of bounds? The Los Angeles Clippers hired Ty Lue to their coaching staff as a jab at crosstown rival LeBron James.
I'm going inbounds here. I don't think the Clippers, you want great coaching, but Doc doesn't need him there. Like, you don't want too many personalities in the locker room.
That's a good point.
You don't want coaches saying, well, maybe my idea is better than you. Maybe my plays this week and defensive scheme or offensive scheme is better than you. Like, you don't want, as I said, that's a lot of personality for coaching staff together. And it could be great because you get more minds and more progress and more guys to kind of talk to. But then you could also have division on the team where maybe certain players start going to talk to Ty a little bit more than Doc.
Yeah.
So I don't like that aspect. So that's why I think it's a more of a jab than a need. I don't think they needed
him. You make a good point. I'm going to say out of bounds, though, because while I do think, you know, there is a reason relative or related to their, you know, shared tenant, the Lakers and LeBron James, I think it was also because Ty Lue knows how to coach and win championships with superstars. Mm-hmm. Doc obviously did this in Boston, but it was an era ago. It wasn't the same generation of kid and the interaction and particularly dealing with a star of the quality of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, even though we're hearing that Paul George is going to miss some, you know, time at the beginning of the season. Who knows how long that goes? But also, I think it's more Ty Lue being able to tell Doc, this is what LeBron James likes to do. Ultimately, in the Western Conference, if we want to, you know, get to the NBA final, we're going to have to beat the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And Ty Lue, less than jabbing the Lakers, knows how to beat or at least compete against LeBron James. So I'm going to say out of bounds, but it's nuanced, my out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Speaking of the Lakers, Aaron, we'll get to this later in the show. It seems like we're hearing, allegedly or supposedly, I can't say allegedly because it's not like he did something bad. Supposedly, DeMarcus Cousins tore his ACL. Talk about bad luck, man. This kid, I mean,
I think he just bumped into someone too, like a little knee-to-knee contact.
Knee-to-knee
contact. Which is kind of weird for an ACL for knee-to-knee contact.
That
usually
doesn't do that. That doesn't do that.
It's say, a non-contact where it just pops. Because it's more lateral.
Yes.
Your ACL protects from side to side, not forward and backwards. Yeah. So you think going at it forward, knee-to-knee, wouldn't be an ACL. Yeah. So
it doesn't make
knock
sense.
Knock on wood, hopefully it's not an ACL and it's just something else minor.
But look, Boogie had to reinvent himself when he went to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
Then he tore his Achilles. He obviously had to use a prove-it season last year, making $5 million with the Golden State. He was valuable for a lot of that season. And now, in this offseason, kind of on another prove-it year with the Lakers, if this happens, I mean, talk about bad luck. Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days. Coming up on the other side of this hour, Seattle, the Seahawks, will talk to Shaquille Griffin. He has a twin, so we like him. He's also from Tampa. which is Aaron's neck of the woods. That's on the other side. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.